You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The show with the hottest takes.
That's the hit you want out of the game. That's the one where it's like, I'm just directly hitting the head, and there's nothing to do with hockey, and they only gave him two. I have no idea what they're doing at times.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The Raptors are 11-1, best winning percentage in the NBA until Golden State wins their next game, and then, of course, Golden State will both have 11-1 records tied with the Raps. And as we said in the previous hour, if you can live in a world that doesn't include Golden State, man, this Raptors team is something like we've never seen before. Yeah. What a start, and you can't take anything away from them. That's the first time they've ever gone 4-0 on a West Coast roadie. They didn't play the greatest teams, but still, four wins is four wins. Exactly. 11-1 is 11-1. And
as a fan and just fan of the sport, it's kind of a weird question. Would you take a trip to the finals knowing you're going to get swept?
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I would.
Go as long as you can. Play as long as you can. Golden State, they're not normal. This isn't normal. This isn't even like New England. New England,
by the way, they're better than ever.
It feels like they're better than ever, right?
And
like
Boogie hasn't even played.
But they could. Is there anything that could unravel that? Injuries.
Outside of injuries, of course. Injuries could happen. But injuries could happen to the Raptors, too. Correct. So using
and Kawhi that. Kawhi is, I mean, you know, he's a guy who's, they're resting, but I think he's nicked up, the ankle or whatever. But even leading into that, there had to have been a plan that he's playing like 60 games tops.
That's why I'm not sure he's going to be an MVP contention, because I don't think he's going to play enough.
Yeah.
Even if his numbers stack up really well with the other top five players in the NBA, if you only play 60 games, that has to hurt you.
Factors in for
sure. It has to factor in for sure. So it's way too premature to start talking about awards, but that's what we do. We're doing it with the NFL. They're halfway through the season.
Doing it with the NHL the other day.
Doing it with the NHL. We're doing it with the NBA. That's how we roll, right? And I do think there's a comparison between what the Maple Leafs are walking into on Saturday night when they play in Boston for the first time since Game 7 to what we've witnessed in previous years when the Raptors would play LeBron during the regular season. Because they were always amped up games, as they should be. And the Saturday game in Boston is going to be promoted heavily, and it's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to watching it. But if and when the Raps would actually beat LeBron during the regular season, everyone would walk away from that game saying, okay, let's see what you got in April and May. Right. And I feel like Boston and the Bruins kind of represent to the Leafs what LeBron has represented to the Raptors over the past few years. Because I think they're going to end up more than likely playing them in the first round. I think Tampa is the best team in the league. If not, they're right there with Nashville. But right. I think Tampa's going to end up with 117 points and win the division again. Right. That's how it's projecting, and that's how I kind of feel it's going to play out. So I think it'll be Leafs-Bruins again. So regardless of what happens on Saturday night, they can win 6-0 in Boston. I feel like we're going to come in on Monday and say, that was awesome. Yeah. Good for you. What do you have in the first round in April?
I've heard some people on our station, I don't know who it was, but they're like, I'm quite confident they're going to get by round one this year. I'm like, they could very easily be facing the Boston Bruins again.
And there's no...
I'm expecting Leafs-Bruins in the first round. But why would we expect anything else?
Yeah.
And that's no cakewalk. Like,
well, it's not a cakewalk. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
That's what it will be. It went seven games last year, and I know, hey, Tavares wasn't there. So what? Like, Boston's like, their young guys got another year of experience. And their old guys, I mean, yeah, Chara's Chara, but he's been like that for many years now. It'll be a coin flip. And it'll probably go seven games.
Yes, and home ice advantage is a big part of the conversation.
Yep.
And that is putting the cart before the horse. But I think we all felt good about some order of Tampa, Toronto, Boston being the top three teams in the division.
Correct.
So two of them were going to play each other. And we've known this for a while that home ice is obviously optimal at this point.
Yep.
And the last couple of years, the Leafs have had to start on the road, and that was in Washington. They lost in six. That happened to be at home in Game 6. But last year, they lost in Boston, Game 7.
Yeah.
And I think, who knows how that plays out if it's at home, Game 7. If it's at the ACC last year, maybe it's a different story. And I'm placing a lot of importance on that come Saturday night, that you want to separate yourself as much as you can and hope to end up in that second spot. But,
right.
You know, and maybe something happens to Tampa, but they're starting the same way they did last year. Like, they're 11-3-1.
Yeah.
they are rock stars down in Tampa. So I expect them to win the division, and I think it's Toronto and Boston fighting it out for who's going to have home ice in the first round.
One of those years, don't you think, that if you're a team that's quality, like Tampa Bay or, I don't know, whoever you are, you got to be thinking, remember in years past, you're like, Anaheim, they're scary. Chicago, scary. L.A., scary. Pitt, scary. How many teams really scare you right now? Not a whole lot. You got to be thinking, if one year of anything, you go all in. This is the year.
Well, I think there are a few teams that are all in at this point, and I expect them to continue to push the chips in come the trade deadline. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Ray, does any team scare you if you're a quality team right now, like a Tampa Bay? I mean, you got to
They would be the closest. Oh, I mean,
Nashville, Winnipeg, but...
Yeah, I mean, but once you get past three or four and you go, okay, they're better than everybody else, how much better are they? Like, are they a player better? Are they, you know, no team with the cap can have anything anymore.
No.
And so even, remember when Pitt won the Cups back-to-back, during the regular season, it's not like you were looking at them most times and going, oh, you can never beat them. It's the same as always. You go, wow, Crosby, Malkin, and it's a really good team, but... You know, they were somewhat human. Then they got to the playoffs and put it all together. Same with Wash last year. I mean, they didn't threaten anybody in the regular season. They quietly went about their business, got to the playoffs, and became something else. But I don't think right now anybody stands out from the crowd so greatly that you go, wow, that team's a lock in the Eastern or Western Conference final.
No, I think Tampa and Nashville deserve to be the number one seeds in both conference.
Yeah.
You know, those two have been the most complete, most well-balanced teams so far, and that's not a surprise. I think most people had those teams as the best team in each respective conference. But we were looking ahead to the game in Boston on Saturday night, and I used the Raptors-LeBron James analogy. Now, there isn't as much recent history with the Leafs and Bruins in the playoffs as there were with the Raptors and LeBron. But even if the Raps beat LeBron in the regular season, which didn't happen much, Raps fans would be like, all right, that was great. Let's see what you got in April and May. And I kind of sense the same thing is going to happen on Saturday. Even if the Leafs go in and beat Boston, I expect these two teams to meet in the first round. I think that's going to end up happening. So, great. You
but
won
look
in
at
November.
Look at the questions Boston has on their team right now, though. You know, they've got a real quagmire starting in goal. Because Jaro Halak has clearly outplayed Rask by quite some margin. And so they're trying to figure that out. They haven't had Charlie McAvoy. This has been 3 weeks pretty much that he's not in the lineup. And their team's nowhere near the same team when he's not lugging around 23 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Their second line with Krejci is a question mark. Jake DeBrusk has been just okay. And the other guys that they thought were hoping going to be, or were hoping were going to be there, like Bjork, Donato's back in the American League. They've not grabbed on to a regular spot. They're a one-line team, really, right now. So you know, it's not really as much as we talk about the Leafs, and you know, they put wins together, but haven't been super duper impressive. I would say Boston sure hasn't either.
Well, is there another team in that division that you think is legitimately scaring these top three teams in the Atlantic? Is it Montreal?
No.
Is it Buffalo? Who would it be?
Well, I mean, they would be the closest, but I don't think... I mean, I can't put those teams in the same class as Toronto, Boston, and Tampa. I can't do that. But
no, I mean,
Montreal and Buffalo are next, for
other
sure.
Other than Tampa, who scares you in the East? Like, if you're the West, you're thinking, well, we got to do it this year.
I'll be honest, though, like... I wouldn't sleep on Washington again. Like, that's a team that, again, just meandered their way through the league. Like, they're a hell of a team. Like, they win the cup for a reason, but, you know, even watching that game last night, like, I know Pittsburgh is on a downswing right now, but they still can get it done with what they have. But Washington is, the way they're constructed, they're a pretty good team, and they got a lot of skill up front. And, you know, Tom Wilson's out. I know he's, people either have your opinion about him or not as a player, but he's a really good player, and he's very effective, and he's hard to play against. Like, that's a team I think you can't sleep on. Like, if you're the Leafs in Tampa and Boston, you know that you're very good teams, but I still would just maybe creature of habit, but not giving up the fact that I still think Washington is dangerous. I think Pittsburgh, if they get it together, are dangerous. Columbus is struggled, but they're still a team that kind of, if Bobrovsky actually gets it together because he's had a rough go, they're a team that could all of a sudden surprise somebody too.
Yeah, but just think, Noodles, Columbus might hold the balance of power in their hands, and that's, what are they going to do with Bobrovsky,
yes,
and Panarin as they get into the new year?
Yeah, we may not be even worried about them if they have to move those two players.
And if somebody can acquire one of those guys, I mean, that could be a game changer for whichever team acquires them. I mean, they're fantastic players.
Yeah.
So, O's probably set there with the West is more of a murderer's row to get out of. For sure. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's going to be a couple of really good teams that are just going to, they're going to die on the vine quick in the playoffs. That's for sure.
If I'm Florida, I'm calling Columbus. I don't know if you're aware of this, Ray, but the Russian players or Russians in general, there's a high Russian population in Florida. I'm going all in on both of them. What do you want for both of them? Bobby Lou's going to retire, I think.
Well, at some point, like, but he's on the downswing as far as age and everything. But yeah, you're right. Like,
are you saying this season?
Like, I don't know, but I'm curious about both. Like, I don't know if it's the Suter Parise deal where you bring in both guys, but I'm thinking they need a scoring winger, they need a goaltender in the future. I would be all in on both guys.
Well, as far as a trade, I can't even imagine what that would look like.
Yeah, probably just waiting until they're UFAs and say, you know what, I'm going to offer you the most. But I'm all in on both.
Well, UFA. Columbus would ask for Barkov for Panarin. That's probably what it would. I know you hang up the phone, but yeah. I'm just saying that's the type of...
Yeah, Florida's not in a position to do it right now because of the start.
Well, do they get to July. Do they?
Yeah.
Are they in a position to do it then either? What, are they going to give them coconut shells?
Yeah.
You gotta pay him.
Yeah.
You know, like just, so what would those contracts look like?
Well, it's so difficult to get a read on contract talk. Like, that seems to be...
Well, it's the topic du jour right now, every day here.
Every day in Toronto. Right. And I think a lot of that is because of
Nylander. What would so-and-so's contract look like? It's getting ridiculous.
Is this the big week, O? Is this the big week?
No, next week, bud.
Oh, after next week's the big
tomorrow's
week.
Friday, so Monday is going to be a very big week. Like the biggest week in the negotiations.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because every week is. It just moves from one week to the next.
It's actually been so quiet. Like, there has not been anything on Nylander.
Okay, Sunday at 2 p.m. will be an announcement.
Like, I hope you're right.
That's how the Leafs have worked.
Yeah.
I know it was under Lou, but you still... Wasn't Anderson trade like a Sunday...
I don't even care anymore. Like, I like the player. I like if he was playing, but I'm so sick of it. Like, I could care less to even... I don't care anymore.
Well...
I just want it over with. I mean, it's...
Because he's out there, there's just so much conversation about everything. You know, and Mitch Marner, because he's off to the start, he's having... Everyone's discussing what Marner's going to get paid, and, you know, he's going to get paid a lot of money, but... He's not going to set a new bar. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think Bobby Mack said it best the other day. Kucherov
got 9.5. Kucherov is...
So what, all of a sudden Mitch Marner now is better than Kucherov and is going to get 10?
No.
Like, give your...
No.
Your head,
it can't happen.
Ass.
Like, that's the thing. Even if you can make a case that he deserves it, it can't happen. The Leafs cannot allow it to happen. That's why, as we get closer to this deadline with Nylander, I'm not convinced they have to move him. Like, I think there's value in the Leafs saying, all right, stay at home. Like, fine. because you can't look weak. You can't. You've got to send a message to these guys that just because they've had a good couple of years, they haven't won a thing.
No.
They haven't won anything. They've been in the league for 2 years.
But I think these modern-day players, Brian, they don't even consider team success.
But why do? But that's not true because other players are signing their deals.
All they care about is 20 goals, 60 points, 20 goals, 60 points, and then there's like this thing they deal with projection, like this is going to be my projection year where the next year after that, that's what I'm really going to be. Do you ever hear people talk about wins, losses, cups? It's just individuals. That's all they care about.
Well, except what is any, when you say about like about cups or wins or like, hell, there's a million stats now. Nobody cares how many wins a goalie has.
Yeah, Ray, the only time cups come into play is if you've won them. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane went to Chicago and said, "We got you 3 cups. What are you going to pay for that?" And they gave him $10.5 million
a
year.
People don't have it.
Yeah, right? And if you don't have it, it's not a factor.
So I'm looking at, you know, Brian, you say like if Nylander's not signed and the value of holding on to him, well, the Leafs still have to get by July 1st. Of next year. And is there a possibility that if he's not signed, what Nylander becomes is a fabulous insurance policy? If somebody kabongs him with one of these unicorn offer sheets, then you still have Nylander to deal with. But he would be a security blanket. Like, what if somebody short-term max deals out one of those guys? Like, just Matthews pays him off the board. You know, whatever 20% of the cap is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are they going to do?
Well, I'm not sure.
You can't not make them offer sheet. And I still, no, other than, oh, yeah, they're all a bunch of buddies, I still don't quite get why management wouldn't offer sheet players. Because if I'm an owner and I paid, you know, $500 million for a team, I'd probably like to win as opposed to having a lot of friends, guys that I don't even really know.
I agree with you, but it's not as if the Leafs are the only ones with RFAs. Like, Mikko Rantanen's an RFA at the end of the year. Patrick Laine is an RFA at the end of the year. So,
but that's my point. Why are these guys immune? I don't get it. It makes no sense. And Toronto's in a precarious spot. Winnipeg's in a tough spot, too, because they've got a boatload of young guys that are rolling in here. The difference is, are they really good players or are they difference makers?
Right.
You know, and when I say difference makers, I mean like the very top of the lineup players. Like Rantanen is going to get paid.
Yeah.
There's not many guys like him. Like that size, that good. It appears as if Marner is really a special player. It appears like Matthews is a special player, like different than being a really good player.
But that's Ray. That's where I jump in here. That's where William Nylander has to understand that, like, and I'll just tie it to, for example, Winnipeg. Nikolaj Ehlers is a really good player, but he's not the special player. He's not in that mode. He's a part of the core. He's a, you know, I think Ehlers can get to 70 points, 75 points.
I think he has a goal this year, does he?
He just recently. But like, my point being is that where does Nylander fit when it comes to that, like that verbiage? Because I think Nylander's just a really good player. I don't see him special.
Yes,
I think he's a very good player, and so is Ehlers, and so is, you know, like I think Pastrnak is. When people talk about Pastrnak, I think Pastrnak is on that cusp of special player. Like he's right there. Like he's close, maybe a layer.
No, I think he's a star. I think he's in the very top.
So he's in this small percentage then. So we've put him in to where, okay, so he's right there. And he's on a value contract now for what he's being paid. Now that was a couple of years ago, and you can't always just tie a line to it, but you have to just understand where you really fall in the pecking order of not only your own team, but throughout the league. Like, I think that's where probably Kyle Dubas and his management group are going, okay, well, we know where you are.
No, you know? Absolutely. And the same thing with Marner. Like, let's say Marner, this idea that he gets 10.5 or 11, he's not going to score 120 points and win the Hart this year.
So well, who came up with that number?
Well, it was on the lunch today. Dregs was saying he thinks he's going to get 10 or 10 and a half. I don't remember how Dregs phrased it, but he's thrown out. Yeah, and it's...
That's a bit rich.
I think it... And you're telling me if you go to Marner and say... Let's say it doesn't have to be an eight-year deal. Here's a six-year deal at eight million a year, 8.5. He's going to turn that down?
What did Dreisaitl get? 8.5 at
Dreisaitl got 8.5.
8.5 at 8?
At 8.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's say, because it doesn't have to be an eight-year deal, but let's say it's a six-year deal, then you're back up at 28. You know, like it just, it doesn't make any sense, the idea that all this money is going to be spent.
This Nylander thing, I've just, you know, like, oh, you know, early saying, like, just sick of it. And what I don't get is after all this time, like, does he really think he's an $8 million player? Like, if that's the number, then... And I'm all for the player getting as much as he can, always. But that's crazy. Like, that's just, that's not even in the ballpark for me. But the thing starts, like, the thing is a six. I don't know how it could be any different than that.
No.
He's not David Pastrnak. He's not.
No, he's not Johnny Gaudreau. He's not, you know, right. There's a lot of these guys who are in the sixes.
I don't even think he's close to Pastrnak. Like, he's not even, like, he's nowhere close to being that good.
And so I see why Toronto's dug right in here, because not only, yes, they got to make the decision for the implications going forward, but also because I kind of think they're, without knowing exactly what they're offering, I think they're kind of in a more realistic ballpark than where he is.
Well, I agree, but at this point it doesn't really matter, because neither side is willing to buckle, you know, and I guess we'll find out in the next few weeks. The clock is ticking.
And we'll get to talk about it tomorrow somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll keep
brought it up every day.
I mean, know
it's,
that.
Well, because it's unfortunate, but it's
a
true.
Big story that you just can't avoid. And because the Nylander contract negotiation is still ongoing, everything else gets dragged back to that with other players and all that kind of stuff. We were talking about the Pens earlier and the Malkin hit on TJ Oshie, if you missed it last night. Washington won that game 2-1, but Malkin was coming across the offensive blue line, and he dished the puck off, and then he kind of gave Oshie, I guess, a bit of a shoulder shimmy.
Kind of the reverse shoulder, right? Like, didn't Forsberg do that a lot, Ray? I saw you on Twitter, and I...
He got me noodles. Somebody asked me, is this the hit you're referring to? I'd never seen that play before, and it was by the door that we used to come out on, you know, in the corner.
Yeah.
And I went to close on him, and he reversed and knocked me. My feet went straight out. Like, he just flattened me. And I was like, how is that not interference? I don't have the puck. And I still don't get it. Now, the Malkin play was different to me last night than that. The reverse thing, I still don't get. Nobody's really come up with an explanation to me. You're not. There's a difference between protecting the puck and just flattening the guy that doesn't have it, that's coming to check you.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anything there for the Malkin play last night.
No, I don't think he should be suspended.
If his name was Tom Wilson, though, he'd be...
Probably.
If his name was Tom Wilson, he's...
Probably would be.
And the way that Oshie went flying, like it... He flew back. Like,
well, he was following the puck. He was not going to hit Malkin. If you look at the angle...
He's kind of leaning into it.
Like. I think Malkin was dishing, and he was trying to change position to go and track the puck. But here's another guy who pulled off that hit, and it wasn't Peter Forsberg. It was TJ Oshie in the Cup Final against Colin Miller last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Literally the exact same play.
But that one broke his nose. Yeah.
But it was celebrated. I remember being in here arguing with people and being like, "That, how is that legal?" And it was celebrated as what a brilliant play, and you were bracing for contact. I thought that was a greasy play, and it should have been interference, and the goal shouldn't have counted. Because if you look back on that tape on Miller, he wasn't going to hit him. He was like 2 feet away from him, and Oshie went out of his way to lay him out. And that was in the Cup Final.
Yeah, that's right.
So I actually appreciate that Oshie, after the game, he was asked, what do you think should happen to Malkin? And he knew, I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Because he did the exact same thing in the Cup Final.
Yeah.
And he broke his nose.
You're right. I didn't see, like, for me last night, I don't see any supplemental discipline there at all. I thought Malkin braced, and Malkin's a horse. He ran into a wall. Like, Malkin is, what does he weigh, Ray? Is he 210, 215?
I don't even think he's
sure.
All of that, no?
He's huge.
He's a beast. And Oshie is, too.
Yeah, like, they're big.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that bad timing for him to make that play, Oshie, when it's the biggest guy on the ice, and his shoulder lands right in your face. I don't think there was, like, I can't, there's nothing there for Malkin, in my mind. That the play you're talking about, Brian, in the finals, and, you know, the Forsberg reverse, to me, that's interference, but it never gets called, like, never, ever. And so it seems like, you know, that's just the way that's going to be.
All right, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow. Where are you at? You're in Ottawa tonight, or?
I'm in Ottawa. We finally just punched through the traffic. I think we will get to the rink here eventually. And, back for the game tomorrow night.
All right, buddy. We'll tee it up tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. The website is mapletoyota.com. Leafs Devils tomorrow night. And Leafs in Boston on Saturday night, so we're teeing that up. Big Thursday nighter tonight. And yesterday, we revealed what we believe is the greatest radio contest of all time, where you can join us in Vegas in February and get married or renew your vows, and the three of us will be the groomsmen. And we got a bunch of submissions last night. A lot of people are already jumping on this. We will read you some of the early entries. They're high quality.
Yes.
High quality. We'll get to that. And
who's going to be the best man? Do we determine that, or?
I guess we can let them choose.
Yeah. It'll be you in their blue suit.
You going to say a speech or what?
I'm never wearing that blue suit again.
It looked pretty good.
No. You guys know what I'm talking about. The fern.
I still can't believe they picked that picture.
The picture is quite
I look a little bit weird, too. Like,
well, really?
I know the focus
stunned.
Is on you guys.
But we're all stunned. We're just, I don't even know if that picture was like taken on purpose. That it was almost like we were ready to walk
off the
stage.
The guy taking the pictures
right.
had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah, it looked
who
like,
was that guy? I'd never seen him before.
He's the web guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Never seen that guy.
The web guy just sewered you, Oak.
Yeah.
And
this
put
is
that
why.
Picture up.
He was like, I don't know. What do we do? What like we had to tell him what angles to take.
Well, obviously, we didn't tell him the right angle because the one they chose, and it's
that
up on
Twitter.
That
guy's never doing it again.
Yeah, not good. And Jimmy Butler put on a display last night that, again, was sickening. I'm so sick and tired of this guy. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, so we announced yesterday we're off to Vegas in February, and the contest is called Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas. A lot of people already emailing in, vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. Tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows, and you could be off to Vegas with us. Flights and accommodations provided by tripcentral.ca. You can text us 1050-50. Amanda texting in wondering if she can marry the O-Dog down in Vegas.
That is not happening. What's her name?
Amanda.
No. I have a girlfriend, Amanda. Very serious girlfriend.
Is that right?
Oh, it is. I mean, you do.
Yeah,
but
I do. Like,
I know that. I'm just saying.
Well, then why would you even put me on? Like, why would you do? Like, no, Amanda. Like, what are you talking about?
I didn't ask to marry you. Yeah, Amanda asked.
Exactly.
Okay. How about this? Cheryl texting in.
Oh, what's Cheryl have to say?
I think the O-Dog should wear his Maple Leaf alumni jacket at the wedding.
If that's a request, I would do it.
Will you? I need to see you on the strip in Vegas.
Yeah, I want to wear it. You wear it to the bar afterwards.
I will wear it to the Leaf game.
That seems like a no guy.
What if the Leafs?
So you guys wouldn't be proud if I wore that like to the Leaf game and out for a couple beers after the game?
No, I would personally be proud.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't be Noodles.
No, why? What are you doing?
No, I'm wearing it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Cheryl.
What if I go to get us in like a good club and that, and like the guy with the Leaf jacket can't come in?
No, because you don't even have to call the club. I'll just go up and show the bouncer the logo, and he'll go.
Cross-faced right chicken wing no. down the stairs.
VIP lounge, champagne room, way you go, sir.
Do you think a Maple Leaf alumni jacket holds clout in Vegas?
Zero.
I do.
Zero? You say
0%.
Noodles?
I think a lot of people that live there, it's kind of like Florida. Nobody's from Florida. Everyone's from another place. Vegas, same thing. You could get a guy from like Northern Ontario bouncing.
Guy
there.
From Keswick who's a bouncer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some guy from Toronto or the you know, greater Toronto area, has a large appreciation for the Maple Leafs and the alumni jacket. Here's a couple of examples of what we've been receiving via email. This is from Josh. He said, I am currently engaged to the best woman a guy could ask for. Every day she hangs out with me and listens to Overdrive, but mostly listens to me yelling at the TV in the 6 p.m. hour as if I'm the fourth member of the show. My request, of course, is that Mullen is the DJ for the reception.
Nice.
I would also ask that Jonas does not come. We can hand that over because Mullen is going to make the trip.
Mullen is on the really trip. I really like that guy.
That's very enticing. Saying no to Jonas? But poor Jonas.
We'll have Jonas tape a video for him, a congratulation video.
We should do that. Joe sent this email in. My wife and I are celebrating our 10-year anniversary in 2019. My wife is a rocket. I'm 5'10", 275, and a gas can. She deserves a second chance to say yes or no to this goon.
I like that guy, too.
Very strong.
There's some good grinders out there.
Very, very strong.
5'10", 275?
Mm-hmm.
He is a grinder.
that is a 40-30 special.
Yeah, he is.
The old school Leafs lunch line.
What's his name, Joe?
That's Joe.
Joe, you got it. Come on, man.
That's a joke.
No, I like that. Ryan like emailing in saying, please consider my fiance Jen and I so we can say I do with the Overdrive boys. I swung way above my weight class with her. We absolutely love the show. Also, you guys need to meet my dad, Gary, who has a mustache and is from Northern Ontario.
Come on.
And he's got a twin brother named Barry.
Barry and Gary.
Yes.
Well, part of the deal is Gary and Barry have to come if you're selected.
Right. So
for sure, they'll be there.
We're going to go through all of these situations.
And if Mullen's
like,
brings
you got to bring
Larry,
Gary, you got to bring Barry, you got to do everything.
Hey, Mullen might bring Larry.
If
Mullen's right.
brings Larry, the three of them can drink some whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bringing awesome. Larry?
No, Larry's not coming. Come on.
So, could be his plus one.
Send an email to vegas1050 at bellmedia.ca. Why we should choose you and your better half to hang out and get married or renew your vows in Vegas. Courtesy of tripcentral.ca. This Jimmy Butler story, man, it's weird because everything that's going on with the Raptors is 100% positive. Norman Powell's injured. Kawhi's not playing every single night. But yeah. I don't remember the last time I went through a full calendar month of a season where it was almost exclusively positive. Everything about the Raps has been across the board exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
And the expectations were high anyway. So, as a Raps fan, I think that's where your focus is at. But if you're an NBA fan, you're tracking this Jimmy Butler Minnesota story. And we've spent a lot of time on this story, on this show, over the past couple of months. They were in L.A. last night playing the Lakers. They lost again. They're a dumpster fire. They're off to a terrible start. There is video out there, a full offensive possession, where Jimmy Butler has his hands down his pants.
Really?
Like he has a hand literally in his shorts, just running around the court. Not an option for obviously receiving a pass, not setting up a screen, not thinking, okay, maybe I should get to the paint in case I got to find a way to pick up a rebound.
I blame the organization, Brian. If you're going to not move this player and allow him to be a part of the situation and make it this ugly.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as the Rachel Nichols thing happened in Minnesota,
yeah,
goodbye.
I've completely turned on this guy. I have.
Like, you're the biggest pain in the ass in pro sports. Him and Le'Veon Bell, like, take your pick.
Le'Veon Bell is a bit different because of the sport and how there's no guaranteed contracts, and he's thinking about himself and trying to get paid. Butler's under contract. Right? He's under contract to play in Minnesota. I have no connection to Minnesota. I've never been there. I don't care about the team.
Right.
You know, Wiggins is on the team, but it doesn't matter to me. But I am so pro Minnesota in this. And anybody that acquires Butler and anyone that signs him long term, I hope it all goes south. Because he was in Golden State. They were in Golden State a few nights ago. And they had like the rally towels out.
Yeah.
And he was on the bench mimicking the Golden State Warriors fans, waving their towels. This is a guy who's on the opposition.
Just seems like an idiot.
He's just being such an idiot. It's so disrespectful to the sport.
Yeah, but they're allowing it.
They are allowing it.
It's their fault.
But yes. Would you be like,
get rid of him?
Problem is,
at least send him
home.
But
if you're somebody else watching it, why would you want him on your team?
That's my point. I think he should be hurting his value, shouldn't he? Yeah. Shouldn't he be hurting his value?
I think so. I would. Obviously, he's a great player, but at what point? Like, if it goes south, you trade for this guy and it goes south in your organization, he's going to bring the same song and dance there.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And the world's changed. You can't walk up and beat the hell out of him in the dressing room if you're a teammate. Because, you know, that would be, I mean, code red.
That's assault, brother.
It is. You can't assault people anymore. Like, not that you should have anyways.
No, but
I'm saying there used to be a time where dressing rooms would police themselves. It wouldn't get physical, but there would be times where veteran players would step up and say, we need more from you. We need something different from you. You can't conduct your...
Show us some respect.
Exactly.
Even if you got an issue with the owner or the president or the coach, show your teammates some respect.
Correct.
Your brothers in the Players Association some respect.
Exactly.
By not going out there and just making a complete ass of yourself.
Right.
And just totally disrespecting everybody on that court. And even people in the stadium, even though it's on the road. You're watching this guy. You're like, this is Jimmy Butler, a legit star in the league.
Yeah.
Who is...
acting like a jackass.
Acting like Jackie Moon and is out there just causing a scene. It's a pathetic look for him right now. And I'm glad the Raptors never made any calls because that talk was really starting to heat up. The idea that you've gone all in here with Kawhi and you brought in Danny Green, why not in for a penny, in for a pound? You know, trade whoever you got to trade and bring in Jimmy Butler too and really load up. Imagine if this guy was in Toronto right now, I guarantee they wouldn't be 11-1. Yeah, especially if he wasn't happy with being here.
Yeah. Strutty used to have this saying about players, and if the team is a body, say you've got a healthy body and you take a piece out and you put a piece of cancer in, that's what this Butler seems like, as far as, and it'll spread right through the body, and that you bring that type of element into a dressing room, it's infectious in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
And you know, players do get that mantra surrounded around them. I know Sean Avery had that type of mantra around him, fairly or unfairly. Evander Kane had that around him. Now, he's settled in. He's got some issues. He had some issues.
Off the ice. But in Winnipeg, it was bad.
In Winnipeg, it was bad.
Yeah.
Buffalo, he had a few issues. But, like, it's... you earn it, but, like, you have to fight out of it and change people's mindset if... to get rid of that stigma.
Absolutely.
And
being a professional still means something. You know, I know we live in the selfie era,
yes.
But being a pro and respectful of your teammates in particular, I always thought that was the epitome of being an athlete,
yes.
And of being a part of a team. Someone texting in saying, Brad Marchand licks guys in the face, yet not a team in the league wouldn't take him. It's a totally different scenario. Marchand is doing that based on competition. It's stupid.
Right.
It's embarrassing. He's not doing it to his own teammates.
And mocking them and making a mockery of their team and organization.
Exactly. It's totally different. Like Jimmy Butler, if I'm an owner, I'm like, I don't want this guy on my team. I would absolutely...
I don't want to take the chance that he could do this to me and my team.
Well, there's probably been some conversations out there where a manager's called up the owner and said, hey, if I trade for this guy and I'm going to have to sign him to a long-term deal, and the owner says, I don't know if I want that element in my organization.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's conducted himself.
Yeah, I agree. Richard Griffin will join us. We'll get into the Scott Boras versus the Blue Jays discussion and coming out of the GM meetings and going into the winter meetings. What can we expect out of the Jays throughout the rest of the offseason? What's up with Harper and Machado? We'll get to that. The Insiders, Bobby Mack and Pierre LeBrun in studio at 620. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we have a pair of tickets to the Leafs taking on the Blue Jackets November 19th. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow, after we reveal the fifth and final clue, if you call in with the name of that player, you're going to see Toronto take on Columbus. Today's clue, you could say this player's most memorable moment with the Maple Leafs happened in a preseason game. Very interesting. That's kind of an opinion instead of a clue, but still,
yeah,
I think
is.
It works. I know who it is now. I know exactly who it is.
Didn't you say yesterday he played for the Golden Knights?
Technically.
I know who it is.
Technically.
Immediately now that
this clue is a real giveaway.
Yeah.
Because there haven't been a lot of players who made their mark in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like this player did. So, final clue tomorrow, and then phone lines will be open.
Who is it?
I'll tell you in the break.
Yeah, we'll tell you off air. I know exactly who it is.
This week, there will be no mistakes. We know exactly who it is.
I know who it is.
Okay. Richard Griffin will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll get his take on the Scott Boras comments about the Jays and the blue flu. And all of a sudden, Boras is so concerned about the fans up here in Toronto.
Yeah.
Such a charitable guy.
This guy is a D-bag. Like, come on.
Well, he's an agent, and his job
is to... He does this every year, though. Yes. He holds court, and everyone is listening, and it's like the same message every year. Mm. This team's cheap. That team's cheap. The Jays are cheap. Every year.
Yeah. Well, and he didn't at any point say, listen, my guy Bryce Harper really wants to play in Toronto. If they just pay him, he'll come.
Yeah, he's...
He doesn't... Shooting Bryce Harper's not listening to the Jays. You know, no, Harper, he's looking for a 12-year, $400 million contract.
You think he gets it?
I would say Machado and Harper, they have five teams. Do you want this? Do you want me? Or?
Yeah, exactly. If you're
Machado's probably hoping, I want to stay with the Dodgers.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Yankees are going to end up signing him, terrifying. But I think that's where he ends up, is New York.
Well, if I know the Yankees, they just saw the Red Sox win the World Series. They probably signed both of them. But Aaron Judge is out in right field.
That's the thing. I don't know if you need, as much as this sounds crazy, you probably don't need Harper. You could use both of them. But Machado, I think with Gregorius, he's had Tommy John. I don't know if he's available at any point this year. Machado is a stud.
Yeah.
They have the money. We'll see what Griff says about it at 6:05. The Insiders, Bobby Mack and Pierre LeBrun in studio at 6:20. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.